Hello, this is Jim Hamilton, Group Director with InfoTrends, welcoming you to the webinar entitled From White Space to Dollars, Trends in Transpromo. This is a Canon-sponsored webinar, and I'd like to thank Canon Solutions America for their support for this particular event. I think you will find this to be very valuable, particularly because we have a great panel of speakers today who will be talking about their use of Transpromo. So we have Tom Harder, CEO of the Microdynamics Group, and then also from Access Direct Systems, we have John DeNazzi and Lori Messina. So welcome, panelists.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great to have you along today. Really looking forward to this. A few tips before we get started. We do want to be sure that if you have any technical difficulties, let us know. You can use the Q&A box, or if you do want to do a little troubleshooting on your own, there's a help widget that you'll see on your screen. One quick tip, problems, loss of sound or some problem in advancing the slides, sometimes you can fix them by refreshing your browser, so keep that in mind. We'd love to have your questions. Some have been submitted already in advance, but you can submit yours now through the Q&A box, again, in your console interface. It may help out if you disable some of the pop-up blockers because, again, these console screens work a little bit like that. And then if you're wondering what other things the console can do for you, click on the Tips for Attendees widget because that gives you a complete rundown of some of those capabilities. Now, as far as social media, you can also share this webinar using Twitter, and you've got the hashtag PIG webinar that can be used for that purpose and on social media. So with the ground rules behind us, let's talk a little bit about the topics. I will do a short introduction where I talk about Transpromo and getting messages through that kind of medium. So I'll talk about some of InfoTrends research, some of the things that we've done in the marketplace around Transpromo. And then we'll look at the panelists. Each of them will have a presentation where we look at how that's being used in the field. I'll close with some recommendations and conclusions, and then we'll take time for questions and answers. And I am planning on giving a good chunk of time for Q&A here. So among the questions that have been submitted already, we have a few, and then look forward to seeing some additional ones. As we said, you can submit those through the Q&A component. So let's get started. For many years, transactional printers have used pre-printed shells to provide the color for their invoices, their statements, and other transactional types of documents. And they used a two-step process. Step one was getting the forms from an offset printer. These had the color items like logos and tints. And then these transactional printers used toner-based products to laser the monochrome variable data onto the pre-printed form. And, that's still commonly used today, but it's a cumbersome, labor-intensive process because you got to warehouse and manage the forms production, and it truly limits you in terms of what you can do with some of those designs and the flexibility of the use of color. On top of that, whenever companies merged or new logos or branding were created, all of the warehouse forms became obsolete. And transactional printers have long desired a cost-effective color digital printer that could do all of that in one step. So enter inkjet technologies. Inkjet technologies really have the possibility to meet a wide range of document needs, covering everything from monochrome printing to light coverage color to full color, and including special effects such as MICR, magnetic ink character recognition. The technologies available today allow a true, what we would call a white paper in to full color out workflow that eliminates two-step processes. And I'm not understating it when I say that this is a revolution in the production of transactional print. It's causing a huge move from black and white to color, and it's helping print maintain relevance versus competition from electronic methods of delivering transactional information to customers. In this revolution, offset presses and pre-printed forms are actually the big loser. Print volume is lost by those methods. Another loser in this market is the monochrome continuous feed digital print, because remember, when those pre-printed forms are replaced, it means that those monochrome digital printers also lose some print volume. Monochrome continuous feed digital is basically a replacement market now. For the past few years, continuous feed inkjet has had, and it will continue to have, a big impact on the transaction side of the marketplace. Now, as we look at the next slide, InfoTrends tracks the application volume over key categories in digital print. And it's interesting to note how three categories dominate today's production color inkjet printing, the very high volume continuous feed inkjet printing. So these categories are transaction, promotional, and publishing. And transaction is the biggest contributor to that volume, and that has a lot to do with the importance of white paper in, full color, document out, color inkjet workflows. And within transaction, bills, statements, and transpromo are the key applications driving this volume. Two other application categories are also important. Within promotional, it's direct mail, and for publishing, it's books. These applications have a few things in common that make them attractive for inkjet. One, many of these applications are printed on uncoated papers, and that's good since coated papers can present some operational and expense challenges for inkjet, although those are being addressed. Number two, these applications are often lower coverage, and with aqueous water-based inkjet, putting a lot of ink down on the page means a lot of water goes down on the page, and drying can become an issue with some inkjet methods as coverage increases. And in addition, much of the cost of inkjet is built into the ink, so higher coverage generally means higher cost. But back to the original point, lower coverage applications like transaction, like direct mail, like books, are very well suited for high-speed inkjet, and it's one of the reasons why Transpromo has contributed to a lot of the volume. But before we go much further, I would like to define Transpromo. And in essence, it's the marriage of relevant marketing messages and the must-read content of a transaction document. Now, we'll see that Transpromo is not just limited to bills and statements, but can also be found in various other forms of documents, including confirmations, benefit packages and explanations, and notifications, which can be as simple as a doctor's office reminder card. Now, when you speak with your customers, don't focus only on bills and statements. Ask the question, are there other kinds of transaction documents that you produce here that may be relevant for Transpromo? Now, over the next few minutes, you're going to hear about why Transpromo is so important to large service bureaus and transactional providers. It all boils down to making and saving money. For marketers, transaction documents cut through the clutter and get read. These companies find that onserts, in other words, printing information onto an existing document like a transaction statement, is more effective than an insert where a separate document is inserted into the envelope. It's also saving money by reducing print and postal costs when some of these pages can be combined, or multiple messages can go into a single envelope. Because a personalized color message is one that really pops out, customers are seeing the ability to incorporate customer service messages. And so this is something that can reduce call center expenses. Fewer calls to the call center, that's certainly an improvement. If that can be done through effective messaging on a transactional document, that's another good reason for its use. Transpromo is being used to encourage customers to move to e-presentment. So the ability to have their materials received electronically as well, sometimes in combination print and electronic. And it can also drive cross-media relationships when tools such as QR codes, SMS text messaging, links to personalized URLs and landing pages, when those kinds of aspects are used. So what I want to do now is to turn it over to our first speaker, who's Tom Harder, CEO of the Microdynamics Group, and Tom, would you like to take it away now?
All right, sure would. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate the intro. Covered a lot of good ground, and what I'd like to do today is to tell you a little bit about our company and then our experiences with Transpromo. So this first slide basically just kind of lists out our mission statement, obviously being in the transactional communication space. You know, it's important that we distribute, you know, accurate documents, if it's through printed matter or if it's through the web, you know, on time, every time, in an accurate fashion. So that's typically the first slide that we start with. And the second slide here really just walks through just an overview of our firm. I've been with the company for 24 years, and I have run printers on up to now running the company, and have seen and have been engaged in the inkjet space and transpromo space really since about 2002. And I'd be more than happy to talk about the experiences today or answer any questions that you folks have. So the 40 years of you know, our business, our methodology has always been to listen to our clients and to bring to market services that really our clients need, or we see a need in the marketplace. And I think that's one of the reasons that we've been able to morph into where we are today. I consider ourselves one of the national leaders in the transactional communications space. In terms of the volumes that we're pumping through our facilities, we're averaging about 500 to 550 million transactions on a yearly basis, with that trend continuing to increase as more and more companies look to divest out of internal operations and go with folks that that do this for a living. So servicing clients throughout the U.S. And Canada, but mailing those documents really worldwide. The really kind of two paramount pieces of our business is obviously security is a huge issue regardless of what you do in for business these days, but in particular in our business and in handling data for clients and, most of that either trying to collect money or report financial information, the regulatory environment has really forced the leaders in this space to spend an inordinate amount of money and time in creating an environment that provides the best physical and logical security in the marketplace, and that really is what what we provide and kind of folds into our best practice processes and really operating in a zero defect environment. And then just the last bullet in terms of the clients that we service, we have a hair over 200 clients, and that ranges from financial services to utilities, collection companies, healthcare, and then really any Fortune 1000 company. The challenge sometimes in our business is everybody produces invoices, every business produces invoices, and a lot of them produce statements as well. So really qualifying what is a good mix for us and where we can leverage some of the technologies that we've invested in and we'll speak about today. Next slide basically is just a quick walkthrough. I won't go through every single point just for the sake of time, but some important ones, obviously. The year we were founded, kind of throughout the history of our company, we've evolved into started as an archiving company in microfiche. That's the name Micro and Microdynamics. And again, listening to our clients in the early 80s, we got into this thing called high volume laser printing. And then once we started laser printing it, people asked us to mail it, and then web services, et cetera. So real important in terms of how our company really over the course of its life has transformed itself into what we do today. One important point that really timeline-wise I wasn't in here, but in context of what we're talking about today, in 2002 we purchased our first inkjet system, and it was a SciTech Vantage 4-over-1 inkjet printer, and we were one of the first, if not the first, transactional printing and mailing company to buy one of these devices, and the learning curve was significant is probably an understatement. So we've been with this technology and have been dealing with transpromo for well over a decade. And the original 2002 model, the quality of the product, the quality of the output really didn't match what the deliverable desired deliverable from the marketing folks. So, you know, we kind of called it, and the industry called it more business color. And so basically used for highlighting and some very simplistic color type of arrangements. But really the advent over the last few years with the quality of the inkjet printers has allowed the trans promo environment to accelerate quite a bit. And then really where we're at right now, we've acquired a few companies. In 2010, we acquired a sorting company that really allowed us to round out our services, provide end-to-end service in controlling that entire production process on the pre-sort processing. And our revenues topped $100 million in 2013, and really we're focusing now not on acquisitions but more organic growth. Like I said at the beginning, with these larger facilities looking to outsource their work to companies like ourselves. The service delivery footprint that we have, this basically shows the kind of facilities where we run our work. Naperville is about 30 miles west of the city of Chicago. And that's where we have three of our production facilities run probably 65% of our work. And the other 35% is run about 125 miles away in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. All of our pre-sorting services are processed in Naperville in a fairly sizable production facility, and basically allows us to kind of maintain control. Gives us the ability to provide disaster recovery services, but in a close proximity. So it's just a kind of a footprint of our service delivery model. And then the eight pillars of success. I mean, these are really the things that we kind of lean on in terms of, you know, who Microdynamics is and what we stand for. The our business, it's, you know, we provide a cost reduction to our clients, in addition to accuracy and efficiency. Very important, obviously, as an outsourced provider, it needs to make sense not only from a cost perspective, but you know, adding some additional value proposition to the deal. Flexibility and customized solutions, you know, that's something that a lot of people say in terms of the flexible offerings, and you know, we live it. We're, you know, even though we are a $100 million organization, we're still very entrepreneurial. The clients deal with the owners, and we're able to structure deals and deliverables that you know, some of our larger competitors just either don't want to or can't do. All of our work's run in secured environment with document integrity, so everything that we run is a fully, you know, automated document factory, file-based type of an environment. The regulatory and standard compliance, you know, that's really the, you know, one of the largest, if not the largest, investment from a CapEx perspective that we have to invest in on an annualized basis, and it's really, you know, to mitigate risk, and it's table stakes really to be in this business. Last year in particular, we had over 90 audits from clients last year alone, and so it's changed quite a bit over the past you know, past couple of years, and it just continues to get a bit more cumbersome. But it also is a differentiator for us too, because we've really invested in that from a people perspective as well as the technology and hardware to provide that to the clients. The equipment, you know, continuing to invest in our equipment, you know, bringing on new Canon devices, their inkjet systems, and really moving our entire operation into, you know, the white in, color out, or what we call WECO environment in stages. So over the course of probably the next 2 to 3 years, our goal is to get to a complete WECO environment. And, you know, we've seen the value. We've had them running for a couple of years, and really see the advantage not only from an efficiency and pricing cost per unit perspective, but also from a client deliverable perspective. Consultative implementation approach, so just onboarding with executive and ownership involvement. The business continuity and DR piece, which is obviously very critical in our space, and we own that ourselves. We don't outsource that. And then providing a best-of-breed web solution, electronic solution, which is really critical. Clients want, you know, one vendor really to manage both. And this is an important part when you're evaluating color and TransPromo is, you know, most of the clients that we deal with, they want the web deliverable to be consistent with what the client would receive in their mailbox. So you have to have the tools to deliver really in multiple channels, but the consistency now that that environment is there to match it, that's what the clients are really demanding, and it's, you know, it's important to deliver on that if you want to keep those clients. And I'll kind of hop through this pretty quick, but this is our document production suite, you know, in terms of how much mail we do. Everything's in ADF. Jim had mentioned, you know, monochrome toner-based systems. We still have quite a few of those, but, again, migrating to the 4x4, all of our devices are micro-enabled too, so we've seen value there as well. Just if you look at it in a nutshell, it's really end-to-end. We control the entire process. The only thing that we don't do is, like, make the paper. Everything else we pretty much control throughout our factory. And now to the slide everybody probably wants to hear about that I've gotten, you know, through my sales pitch here, is the TransPromo side. So, people have used this phrase quite a bit over the past decade, and I'm not sure if it's still TransPromo or if it's on certs or if it's hey, make my statement or invoice look pretty or whatever you want to call it, but we'll the TransPromo seems to be the term everybody uses, and so we'll go with that. But
well Tom, actually here's a question. This is Jim.
Yeah.
So if what would your preferred term, or how do your sales reps present some of your capabilities to clients? Would they use the term TransPromo, or is there another preferred terminology they'd use?
You know, a lot of times we'll use, like, the term on-cert, or we'll use the term WECO environment. So, mm-hmm. Whiting, color out, flexibility. So it's gone beyond just taking a communication call to action or an incentive or something and put it onto the document, because we've done that for years in a monochrome environment. So
mm-hmm.
it really I think sometimes it's confusing to the client, and again, it just might be my clients, but more the color enabled and allow you to take the inserts or the messages or the things that you want to communicate to your clients and putting it onto the document, we're calling that an onsert. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I think that's an interesting use of the term, and I agree with you. I think there is some skepticism around the term TransPromo, in part because initially people were imagining a wild west of any kind of advertising document going into the white space of a transactional piece. And, of course, that never happened because clients wouldn't allow that. They wanted very cautious use of that space. But I will
Correct.
Let me just remind the listeners that you can be submitting questions. We'd be happy to take them. And I will, Tom, I'll stop interrupting and I'll let you go back to your TransPromo slide.
Sure, that sounds fun, Jim. Thank you. And yeah, I agree with you on the TransPromo really dovetailed the original release of the high volume inkjet printers. And I think what happened was the expectation from the marketing folks was that it was going to look like something that came off of a web press, and in reality, it didn't. So there might be a little bit of deflation there in terms of the name. But I think right now in the environment that you have today, I think the quality is caught up with the client's desired deliverable on what they would consider TransPromo. So I think kind of a maybe TransPromo version 2 or new and improved TransPromo. The technology and the market seems to be connected now, and I'm seeing quite a few of the, my first point, just applications that that are leveraging the TransPromo would be, you know, invoicing clients, and that would be more of a call to action, an incentive, a cross-selling opportunity. In the financial services space in particular, too, because theirs is really twofold, where it's a communication, if it's a picture of their investment management team, or if it's a new branch that might be opening at their local bank, or if it's colorizing an asset allocation graph. You know, now the technology is there to really deliver on what the client wants to see. And I'd say on average we're probably in the color environment running maybe 20 to 25% of our clients. We're integrating in some sort of variable trans-promotional type of image or graphic in the print stream.
You know, that's interesting because we had actually gotten a question about what percentage of your transaction clients, were using some kind of, special messaging or, well, what was described in the question as advertising on their statement. So you'd say that would be somewhere around 25%?
Yeah, in our market, you know, at least in our client mix, that's about, 20 to 25% on the color side of it. You know, I think if you look at the monochrome, in addition, and again, a lot of the monochrome is just simple messaging, it's probably higher. It's probably closer to maybe 60, 65%, I would think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everybody wants a free ride, you know, on their document, if it's a graphic or a message or whatever it might be, you know, a new branch phone number or, a coupon or something like that. So the more sophisticated the company you're dealing with and the more engaged the marketing group is, the easier it is to really sell. And it provides value for us, and that's the thing that, we're always looking to add value to our service offering to, justify our price point and our margin, and that it works out well for everybody. So,
okay.
Really the second, in terms of what the applications I see, I think I mentioned that here just a few minutes ago, but really call to action messages and cross-selling opportunities, really those are kind of the primary application. But really in order to drive that, the data is the most critical piece. So the coordination of data, if it's coming from a third-party platform or if it's, Microdynamics development team mining data, looking for conditions in the data stream to populate a particular section of the statement or invoice with a message or an offer, that is critical, and that's something that you really take it down to to the one-to-one level. Kind of variable data and variable logic is required in order to deliver what the marketing folks that we deal with want to deliver. So our team will work with them to either provide them detail on how to extract out of a database, either in-house or third-party database. And we bounce that up against the data file that we're creating the documents for the clients, and then at that point in time, we're populating it with the offer.
Okay. Well, the questions are coming in fast and furious. You're developing a lot of interest here. Let me ask you one specifically because it was really on something you'd mentioned in a previous slide. But you, in terms of your best practices, you were saying you're getting better than Six Sigma results, and the question was, did you do that development in-house, or did you enlist the help of a consultant to get to that Six Sigma level?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Over time. Yeah, we have utilized Madison Advisors in the past to kind of do some BPA analysis for us for our operation. But our production staff is pretty robust. They also leverage outside tools to control our production factory to get to that. Our goal is zero defect. And if it works correct on the automated portion of our workflow, it is zero defect. What happens is, a human will make a decision that circumvents the process, and that's just education that's going through, our SSA 16, type 2, audits and all the processes and metrics that we built in place over the years really bear fruit, borne fruit over the last, five, 6 years to work. We're pretty confident that we're, over those millions of pieces, we're not going to have too many issues.
Right, right. Well, I will let you finish up your presentation now so we get plenty of time to access Direct Systems. But there are five or six questions lining up here, so I know you're catching people's interest, and we'll get to some of those towards the end of the presentation.
Yeah, sounds good. So, yeah, I want to allow my counterparts here some time, too. So, those three more things at the tail end is, the marketing side, that's really key, is getting the marketers to buy in on this. So, in our space, typically we deal with IT folks or, IT and finance folks or kind of the owners of the process. A lot of times they want to keep the marketing guys, on the other side of the building. They don't want to engage them. So that's key in order to kind of sell this trans promo is getting marketing buy-in, but you also need IT support because they're the ones that typically own the data. So that's a real critical marriage. Engage the advertisers to create value. So we've done a lot of work with this in both direct and with third-party providers. To basically engage the advertising companies to get that free ride, to go on to pay for the privilege to go on the statement or the invoice. So for us, we either look at it as an additional revenue opportunity or a lot of times it's a cost offset to the client. So certain advertisers will pay, 3, 4, 5 cents per envelope to have their information and detail right along with a document. So that's really important too, in understanding that and having those partnerships. And then the last thing, which we spent a lot of time on, and that's something that we've customized internally, is to provide a very easy to use interface through our web portal at Microdynamics for our client to upload graphics, upload messages, upload data files, preview files before they go to the print floor, release them after they've reviewed them. Those are things that make the experience in terms of that flow, because it is fairly disconnected, but creating an environment where it's easy to use for a client is critical. So it used to be the quality was the issue. Now the quality is caught up, and now it's really, how do I make this a seamless integration for a client? So I'll kind of jump to the next slide here, and I don't really need to go through that because I want to give my counterparts their time on the floor here, but you could read that. That's really our mission statement. Focus transactional mail, flexibility is the paramount differentiator with our company. And we have quite a bit of experience being in the color and trans promo space. And with that, I will turn it over.
All right. Well, that sounds great. Tom, thank you very much. We will we'll have more questions for you, so definitely stay on the line. But Access Direct Systems will be our next speaker with John DeNazzi and Lori Messina. I don't know who was going to go first, John or Lori, but why don't you get started?
Well, that would be me. So good afternoon, and thank you. My name is Lori Messina. I am the Executive Vice President here at Access Direct. I'm joined today by my colleague and partner, John DeNazzi. John is a senior vice president here at Access Direct. I know some of this may be redundant. However, keep in mind that while it's true that we're all putting ink on paper, remember we do serve different customers with different markets with different needs. But before we get started on our presentation, I'd like to just take a brief moment to tell you a little bit about Access Direct. So we're a full-service data-to-mail company, and we were founded in 1969. We produce over 1 billion pieces of mail a year and are one of the largest mailers in the country. We built our business on a culture of quality, automation, and relationships, and we operate out of 3 facilities here on Long Island, all within a 2-mile radius. Currently, we employ over 500 people. We've been offering a full range of laser personalized services, including digital color printing, for many years. Last year, we made the decision to expand our color services to include inkjet technology. We made the investment in the Canon ColorStream inkjet presses, and we are extremely pleased with the results and support. So what makes trans promo mailing such a winning opportunity? Let's look at some of the benefits, such as customer engagement, flexibility, cost savings, and cycle time reduction. In regard to customer engagement, we know that although consumers don't always welcome bills, invoices, or statements, They will most often receive much more attention than any other direct mail piece. In fact, 95% of all transactional mail is opened. Consumers will spend at least 1 to 3 minutes reviewing transactional mail, and 65% of the households still prefer to receive printed copies of their bills, invoices, and statements. Flexibility. With current technology such as inkjet, customers can now utilize their data to create an unlimited amount of targeted messages and graphics in color. And it's been proven that color can double and even triple response rates. This is all done in a print-on-demand environment, which allows customers the flexibility to make necessary changes to offers or terms and conditions up until the last minute. We always suggest remember to make it personal. Use data to get specific and speak to the individuals. Utilize customer information to target personal messages. And make it eye-catchy with color technology. Use pictures, graphs, maps, and other interesting graphics. We always suggest to make it all in one. Try to eliminate multiple inserts whenever possible. Incorporate as much legal stuff as possible, coupons, offers, etc. And cost savings. All customers are interested in cost reductions and savings. By having the ability to drive creative messages into an all-in-one process, customers will save money. Some examples of these savings include postage savings. By collapsing multiple creatives and batching mail, you will achieve greater postal discounts. No waste or spoilage of forms. By inkjet printing on demand, you eliminate costly overage of pre-printed forms. And again, going for the free ride. Customers can reduce their print costs by incorporating their inserts, coupons, terms and conditions, etc., on the actual form. Keep in mind, on average, messages on transactional mail are read 10 times more than separate inserts. And cycle time reduction. Printing in an inkjet print-on-demand environment will allow the customer to forego consuming lead time and move right into the live production process. This will virtually eliminate the print time for pre-printed components, along with the management of multiple vendors. Once the order is approved, the print and personalization production process can begin, and the cycle time from data file to the mail file is significantly reduced. We talked a little bit about the branding before, about saying trans promo. I always like to say that we do promo mailings as well. Many of our promotional customers are utilizing URLs and QR barcodes to drive customers to a website, which will further define their offer while introducing other products.
Okay, now I'm going to take it, and I'm going to kind of help you walk through the process of creating a trans promo mailing. First of all, our customer must target a marketing concept that fits their needs. So some of these concepts are as follows. You would have a customer retention program, upselling programs, cross-selling programs, coupons, and print ads. Once the design of the trans promo piece is zeroed in on, the implementation process can commence. We now know the type of trans promo we're looking to produce, but remember that not all mail service providers have the same capabilities and experiences. Thus, there must be a vetting process of all potential mail service providers. This process should look into the type of equipment and services that are available from your mail service provider. Some important questions and options to consider while making this decision are as follows. We have Micr. Are you going to be using Micr toner? Color. How much color are you going to be using? Color management. That's a big, big factor in the world of inkjet. Multi-page processing. Many statements and so forth need multi-page options. Read and print options, being able to personalize an envelope as well as the form. Enveloper, which is a fully digital envelope creator. Postal strategies. As Lori mentioned, there's plenty of issues regarding postage, trying to keep your postage as low as possible. Make sure your mail service provider has the best possible strategy to lower your postal costs, which leads into must have commingling service and possibly logistics services as well. Once all the above has been decided, you have to find a company that you feel comfortable with, and the focus now will shift to data. One of the most important strengths needed by the mail service provider, as well as the customer, is the knowledge and accessibility of data. Without the data component, it's virtually impossible to create a TransPromo program. This data knowledge will be used to drive data mapping, thus allowing you to vary your offers. In that environment, here are some of the variables that we can affect on the fly. You can change images, logos, pictures, letters, colors, forms, paragraphs, etc. As you can see, we can change almost every single thing on that plain white piece of paper. And that includes being able to perf dynamically in line. Once this process has been completed, this program can be replicated over and over again, keeping the same colors and variables without making any modifications. But the involvement doesn't end there. There must be a back-end analysis on the performance of these programs to see which offers are working and which are not. That the way you change the offers can be, that way changes of the offers can be made to keep the customer engaged. Once you lose the attention of the customer, it's much more difficult to re-engage them.
John, if I could interrupt for a minute, one of the questions that seems to be coming up in a number of the responses that we're getting from folks is who makes a decision about the placement of the TransPromo piece? For example, let me and also does sometimes these go to third-party advertisers? So one question is TransPromo designed for the business's own range of products or the space sold per third-party advertiser? So that's getting a little bit at that question. Who drives the purchase of TransPromo printing at the customer level? Who decides what promotion goes on a particular TransPromo piece? So you can see that there's there are a number of questions about the decision making process about who decides what goes where. What is your experience with that, John?
Well, typically we've seen in the past that for years it was very difficult to get into the marketing department. And we were typically dealing with the production side of any of our customers. And in order to affect these changes, we had to kind of cross the hall to get into the marketing department. Because once the marketing department is on board, these changes become much, much easier to implement. So I would really say anybody that is going to get into the world of TransPromo needs to be in the marketing department of their customer.
Right. And that implies that these are internal marketing pieces rather than sort of third-party advertising that goes into those spaces. Are you seeing much of that where,
yeah,
you know, there's white?
Into that a little bit. We're seeing that there's a lot of times coupons and so forth, but there's a lot of print ads that we're seeing now where people are really selling the real estate on their in their TransPromo piece. So you have the envelope. We have the ability to inkjet or personalize other pages or on an invoice, and they're selling that real estate. So it's becoming a revenue stream for them as well.
Interesting. Now, one other question, and this is really about the idea of inserts moving to onserts. Well, there's a question here about statistics related to that, but I guess what I'd be wondering about, John, is your own personal experience. How much are you seeing customers moving away from inserts and then taking that information or some component of it and driving it into an onsert?
So we're seeing that number move, and I would say probably 10 to 15% of our volume is in the TransPromo field, but that number has grown because of our capabilities now of going to a high-speed inkjet system. In the past, we were relegated to more of a cut sheet environment, but now that the inkjet has offered the flexibility and the speeds that we need, we think that number is going to go up dramatically.
Interesting. Okay, well, I will let you finish off here, but we'll come back to more questions in a little while.
Sure. So I'm just going to finish off with a few examples of the type of work that we're currently seeing. And as we touched on earlier, we're talking about print ads. Companies now selling real estate on their transactional mail pieces, thus adding a revenue stream for them, which they hadn't seen in the past. Mapping and directions. This is useful for chain stores and banks, for example, where is your closest ATM or branch. Photo mailings. Pictures of products that you have purchased, along with other pictures that of products that you may be interested in, as you see on most web-based purchases. coupon mailings, which is probably the largest portion that we're seeing. Many stores and credit card companies now offer cash or reward programs based on the amount of money you spent during the last billing cycle. These coupons either arrive in or on your invoice and can be immediately redeemed. So this is the kind of work that we're currently seeing. It's not exclusive to these four topics, but that's what we're seeing. But I guess really what I would say, the takeaway before I turn it over, is really for somebody getting involved in this space is really you have to remember that you need content to have success in the world of transpromo mailings. So I'm going to turn it back over to you, Jim.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Well, we've got so many questions coming in now. I'd like to just pause for a moment to take a few of them and also to remind listeners that you can add additional ones, and we will respond to them as time permits. But here's a question really about digital delivery of a transactional information. So some people in the industry feel transpromo print will disappear as billing migrates to digital. So the question is, how much erosion are you seeing? And John and Lori, why don't you start with that, and then we'll give Tom a shot.
Well, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, I could take it. So we had the same concern as everyone else, and it's interesting because we really aren't seeing as much movement as we would have originally expected. So we still seem to be supporting each email campaign. At one point I spoke a little bit about the promotional mail as even pushing to have some interaction online, and it still seems very slow. So we're hopeful, considering that the business that we're in, even though we support it with email services as well, we're not seeing the move as quick as we originally expected.
Interesting. Okay. Tom, how about you?
Yeah, so, one of the reasons we used to call ourselves a transactional printing and mailing company, and now it's, communications company. So we have a, and I think I expressed in my demo or my presentation too, having a complement of electronic solutions, e-statement, e-billing, those type of services. So my current clients, there is erosion, but, the folks from Access Direct said, it's I think a lot slower than a lot of people anticipated. But what we have found that just macro level, the more people that adopt a web services type of delivery channel, that's really driving our print growth, at least in kind of the short term, probably 3 to 5 year window, because it's making the cost to produce that particular unit internally more and more expensive. And then they start looking at this color technology, and that really is driving our kind of pipeline of opportunities for these companies that used to do it in-house. So we typically capture, when they do shift, we'll capture that on the website, and then it's also driving our print growth.
Yeah, it's interesting, the various trends and movements. So while you do have some print moving to fully electronic delivery, there's also black and white statement, printed statements moving to more colorful statements. So it may be somewhat fewer but more colorful and more impactful printed mail that is integrated more tightly with electronic delivery. So here's an interesting, and Tom, this may be back to you because I think it refers to a question that you said. Where there is a third-party advertiser represented on a transpromo page, are you the ones recruiting advertisers for your clients?
We have. We've kind of done it really three ways. We've used, we have actively sourced a few relationships. We have had clients come to us with vendors that came to them directly. And really where we found the most success is there are a few companies out there that basically are aggregators. So they kind of deal in this space where they go out and they market, Office Max or, H&R Block or somebody that has a promotion that they want to put into, tax documents, for example. So the H&R Blocks of the world are willing to pay a premium to ride along within those W-2s or 1099s, and basically it's kind of a revenue share between the third-party vendor that coordinated it, Microdynamics, and then our client. So that's where we found the most success, and that goes, not along with the TransPromo side, but then it's also we're delivering that through the e-statement or e-billing mechanism as well.
Interesting. All right. John, Lori, anything to add to that?
I think we're good.
Okay. Let me ask a more operational kinds of questions. So in regard to inkjet, how do you select the substrate that you use? Do you select it or does your customer specify paper? So, John, Lori, do you want to start with that one and then Tom, you can take it?
So it's a combination of both. Paper is an interesting topic, right? You know, I'd love to speak to folks to say once you enter this world of inkjet, you know, keep in mind that it's different. Right? And different isn't bad. Different is different. And so one of the very first things we start off with is paper. And what is the paper of choice? We'll make recommendations because more often than not, we're faced with a customer that wants to replicate what they currently have, but that would be in a preprint environment. And once you enter the world of inkjet, you have to find a complement to that. Some cases it's better. Some cases, and what's considered better? Is it the paper quality? Is it the ink coverage? What is it? Generally, it starts with price point. And typically it's been, you know, traditionally, the inkjet papers have been at a higher price point, but they have come down through, you know, the past couple of years. And we've been able to solidify a few papers because we don't want to real estate hundreds of papers that are out there right now. So we'll try to point most of our customers into an area of maybe, you know, 3 to 5 different choices unless they are so stuck on one paper stock. Then we work, you know, closely with the folks either from Canon or from, you know, other paper areas to make some other recommendations.
Interesting. Okay. Tom, how about you on that one?
Yeah, so, you know, we've been in the space for a long time. You know, back in 2002, there were a few games in town, and that was it. And we ended up having to bring paper in from Europe. Europe was ahead of the States in terms of using inkjet technologies, and it was just that was one of our biggest challenges back a long time ago, because not only do you need to create the desired result on the printing side of the house, but you have to insert it into the envelope, especially if you're running invoices and statements. You know, you can't have spoilage creates costs and also creates the opportunity for errors, and that we just couldn't live with. So now a lot of the mills are geared up or are gearing up to move towards inkjet type substrates. See a lot of growth in this, and but typically we'll control it because we want to control the environment of if we're responsible for it. We want to make sure that it's consistent throughout the process. We have worked with some clients that have specific needs. It's just we need to vet that out, but most of the time the product that we use is acceptable for our customers.
Interesting. Thank you. Tom, you mentioned tracking. Actually, I think all speakers mentioned tracking the success of a promotion as being key. So why don't you start with this one? The question really is, who tracks and measures the promotion outcome, and how do you do that?
Yeah, typically the tracking portion would be more on the client side from our perspective. So we'll put like a barcode or a key code or a QR code or something like that that is going to allow them access to whatever promotion we're sending out on their behalf. So really the data in the composition and creation of that particular ad, if you will, that's something that we drive, but the back end portion of it is something that we kind of have our clients rely on our clients to capture that data.
So you provide them basically with the tools to allow them to track it after the promotion.
That's
correct. Are they likely to share the results with you?
They do, yeah. And if we do leverage a third-party provider for that, a lot of times they'll take that endeavor over for them. So,
mm-hmm.
We're just not a data analytics company. It's just not something that we do. Not that we couldn't do it. Typically the response will be, wow, this ad worked great. We're going to run this next quarter, or this one wasn't as good. Let's go with a different variation. So that's kind of how we run it.
All right, John and Lori, how does the Access Direct system handle that question of tracking and measuring the outcome?
Well, I'll say very similar to what Tom said. I mean, we have all the ability to pass the information and track it if need be, but we find that most customers are handling it themselves. And a lot of it is for their own purposes, meaning the offer that they're giving, if it's pulling very well, they want to keep that information close to the vest. So that way, they're going to use it again. They don't want it out in the marketplace that something's really working. They want an edge on their competition, so they do keep it close.
We probably have time for a couple more questions. The questions have been great, so thank you very much, everybody in the webinar audience here. They've been coming in fast and furious. But here's an interesting one. Are you doing any video ads? And so the way I interpret that is you're including personalized URLs and QR codes, and do some of those lead to videos? And if so, are you doing any video production? And John and Lori, do you want to start with that one?
Yeah, not yet. I mean, it sounds very interesting, and, you know, you hear, you know, lots of speak about folks wanting to do different things, whether it be with videos or texting and things of that nature, but we are not at this point.
And you're not getting requests from let's say, your customers to work with a third party to help do that? Because, you know, again, I would not necessarily think the video production would be a central core value of either of your guys' companies, but... you know, again, maybe where a third party can slide in. But are you getting those kinds of requests, Lori?
Yeah, not really. I mean, again, I think it's because, you know, the customers that are looking to do things that are driving folks to their own websites and having videos on their own websites are doing that still through these, you know, QR barcodes and things of that nature. So we haven't seen it. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but none of our customers are really coming to us yet with that request.
Right. So, Tom, how about you?
I mean, we've done a few things like that. If it's paper-based, it is through, like, the QR code takes them to a website or something like that launches a video for maybe the CEO of the bank or something. We have leveraged it a few more times on our e-statement platform through email notification that has a video kind of embedded in it. And the name of the company escapes me. I think it's Slingbox, or there's a third party out there that specializes in that. And again, that's more driven. It's not a service line that we offer, but if a client, you know, asks us to help facilitate it, typically that's more on the web-based type. You know, obviously you're not going to put it on paper, but they're going to have to go to some sort of web, you know, interface. So it's, you know, however they get to that, if it's through an email notification or a website or a QR code, that's how that would be handled. But we don't
Excellent.
Do any production or anything like that at all.
All right. Well, we're really getting very close to the top of the hour. I wish I could, if we had the time for a question that we have around handling of data security. I'm going to jump a little bit because I had some conclusion slides here, but I think we've covered a lot through our conversations here, and I really do feel that our panelists have done a great job of bringing us into a better understanding of what's happening in the Transformo marketplace. So we've done the Q&A. I do want to mention to people that if you did enjoy this webinar, that there is a widget that you can click on to allow you to sign up for a free subscription to Printing Impressions magazine. And so, you know, again, they've helped facilitate these types of dialogues, and so I think it's really important. You may wish to follow up on that. And I'd also would say that you know, I want to thank our panelists, of course, for participating here. So, you know, you guys have been great. It's always great to hear what is going on in the marketplace, and you've done a wonderful job of that. So thank you very much for your participation. And I would also like to thank all of our people out in the audience for taking time to attend the webinar today. You can get additional information by clicking on that piworld.com/webinar link. And you'll also see a feedback survey popping up on your screen in a moment. We really would appreciate it if you would have a look at that and respond, give us feedback. We'd love to hear what's working, what's not, and are always looking to improve what we can do in these webinars for you. So again, I would like to thank our presenters again. You guys were great, and I look forward to speaking to you all in the future. Take care now, everybody.